Settle down now and listen to this story of sorrow and pain. I'll tell you about what happened to Imam Hussein. It's been a millennium and three centuries, but what you're about to see is more than just memories. But before we begin, you've got to reach deep down inside and realize good and evil really does exist. And life is a choice between that and this. A terrible age it was to see when there used to be a shameless drunkard king from a faithless family tree. A tyrant who knew no bounds and no moral compass at all. Extravagant and arrogant, he had no care for justice at all. Ladies and gentlemen, before we proceed, you've got to know that his name was Yazid. Yazid, cursed by angels and men alike, a vicious, ruthless, self-proclaimed overlord. And before you turn away from the screen, before you say, oh, I'm bored, I've got to tell you that you need this story in your life. In your heart full of strife, you need to know, because your video games, your movies, your social media beauties won't show you what I'm about to show. And unless you know, you will never realize why you're living in this confusing world, filled with amusing things, amusement parks with amusing jingalings, while elsewhere there's genocide taking place. And you wonder why you're left with a heart that's bruising, so you keep losing inside? Let Hussein show you how to win. The son of the father who said, by the Lord of the Kaaba, I am victorious. So let me show you, boys and girls, what it means to be glorious. Starting with the notorious Yazid, who at this time had a powerful army at his beck. Surely, I don't have to tell you that Yazid invaded Medina. He invaded Mecca, the holiest sites in Islam. Thousands under this king, unchecked, calling himself a Muslim. This grim king, his armies following his every whim, he attacked the holy Kaaba, setting the walls ablaze, and the structure crumbled like a glass vase right before the Ummah's gaze. Many people were killed by this tyrant. His soldiers picked the women like a king picks at grapes, 1,000 of them becoming pregnant because of these heinous rapes. This is the history, and this is Yazid and his assault. And no, you can't take this with a pinch of salt. You cannot remain calm, because Yazid did this all in the name of Islam. This was Yazid, as history sees, and surely there's no need to elaborate that a pious man could never collaborate with a tyrant as wretched as this Yazid. And now perhaps you've come to know why there was a need for someone to stand up against Yazid. So let me proceed and tell you how it all began. At the time, all hope rested on a single man, and all eyes now turned towards the grandson of the Holy Prophet himself, a man whose face shone with wisdom, so handsome that when he smiled, your heart felt free, the pinnacle of justice, the epitome of freedom. And what can I say about his honesty? He said, don't hurt a poor man's pride by rejecting him, giving out bread. And that mercy is when you are able to take revenge, but you choose to forgive instead. This man also said, one cannot be forced to become our friend. It's up to you in the very end. Each one of you listening to my voice is a link in a chain. You have got to know this man's name was Hussein. And now Hussein has a choice: either give allegiance to Yazid, in which case Hussein's life will be spared, or reject Yazid, as none other dared for fear of death. Imam Hussein knows that this is a test from God upon whom he relies, and though Hussein has very few allies, and he knows that if he rejects Yazid, Yazid will slay him and his family as well, but he stands and says, to me, death is nothing but joy, and living under tyrants, nothing but hell. And so Hussein stands. He says no to oppression, and though we've seen this before throughout history, brave men giving their lives standing against aggression, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a man sacrifice not only his own life, but also the lives of his loved ones? Hold on a moment, because I know there's one or two of you at least who would fight to the end for his obsession, endure the pain of repression when you look outside your windows and see that the world is full of oppression. Those few of you who are heroes will raise the banners in your procession. You might be willing to make a sacrifice out of your own life, but when you see a bombing, a martyrdom, or a drone strike, how many of you are willing to endure the pain that we see was endured by our beloved Hussein? Would you do what he did for the sake of justice and take the leap of faith? Would you see your own sons and daughters die for God's sake? Would you rise up against tyranny and injustice? How could such a man as Yazid be allowed to rule this fool, while his armies of thousands continue to spread malice and cruelty? Take heed, Imam Hussein said no to this Yazid. And so Imam Hussein packs his bags, sets off on his journey. With him, he takes his family, his daughter Sakina, and Ali Asghar, his three-month-old baby. His brother Abbas, the flag bearer, is by his side, and his sister Zainab, teary-eyed. He takes his son Ali Akbar and his nephew Qasim. But there are also 72 who would not just walk past him. Faithful Muslims more courageous than you could ever imagine. Followers of peace, full of compassion. They said, Hussein, we won't let you go alone. We know that you could never submit to the throne of Yazid, who sits drinking mead and who oppresses the people. So these few set out to a place that's far. Hussein and his comrades set out to that fateful land of Karbala. See, there were others too, but they were spineless. Good guys, very good guys, but when it came to politics, they were mindless. Prayed and fasted, gave to the needy too, but when it came to standing for justice, they became askew. But before I get carried away describing these cowards, before I go too far, let me just say that they were known as the people of Kufa. Lying under the shades of their date palm trees, they abandoned Hussein and in turn, before Yazid, were on their knees. Hussein knows that they'll abandon him. For him, it's no shock, but he goes to lead them anyway. A shepherd never leaves his flock. People tell him not to go. They say, Yazid will kill you if you make a stand. And they tell him not to go to that fateful land. The desert will be merciless. The political climate is turbulent. You've got to exercise carefulness. The people of Kufa's hearts are with you, but their swords are against you. They already allowed your cousin to be killed, who was sent to represent you. They said, give your allegiance to Yazid. He'll kill you otherwise, and your kin. But Hussein turns around and says, a man like me can never submit to a man like him. The people of the city of Kufa promise to help Imam Hussein, but instead they flee out of fear of death and pain. And that's what makes it relevant to me and to you. It takes a heart of steel to remain true, but most men have the heart of a shrew. And so Imam Hussein arrives alone, him and his 72, in the burning heat of the desert of Karbala. Imam Hussein spots the army of Yazid, 40,000 strong. It takes the heart of a lion to choose right over wrong. 72 against 40,000, Imam Hussein turns to his companions to say, Yazid's men are full of lawlessness. I will die here for sure. And this is the way of graciousness, to sacrifice what we love for the sake of righteousness. But I'm the one they want. You're all free to leave. His companions, 72, though they were few, turn back and say, Oh Hussein, we won't ever turn and leave. The thought of you alone makes us grieve. And though we might not achieve anything in this world by dying this day, we believe in heaven and what the Holy Prophet used to say, so we will never abandon you. And so these brave men, children and ladies, they lit up their lamps and set up their camps right beside the Euphrates, ready to face the armed forces of Yazid. If the companions of Hussein could reject injustice despite the odds, be torn to shreds by the dogs of Yazid so that truth remains, so that justice survives, even if they lose their lives, even if they lose their children and their wives, then what are you willing to sacrifice today when you look out your window and see the world decay? When you see that another child was bombed as though it's just daily news, doesn't matter if you're Muslims, Christians, or you're Jews, what answer will you give on Judgment Day? That you were afraid to lose your life? That you were afraid they'd oppress your wife? Or that your kids were more important than justice to make a sacrifice? On that day, God will point to Hussein and his 72, saying, "They made that sacrifice, why couldn't you?" And if you think that the story of Hussein is just a spectacle, a festival, nothing dialectical, and that there's nothing for you to change in your own life once you've heard of Hussein's strife, then just go on walking by, treating the story of Hussein like a lullaby. But I promise you this, that once you've heard what occurred, your entire perspective of life will change, unless your perception is absurd. A commander of Yazid's army, whose name was Hur, approaches Imam Hussein's encampment with his horses to discuss terms, causing a stir. But Hussein sees that Hur and Hur's men are overwhelmed by thirst. And although Hur is his enemy, Hussein says, "Have some water first." As Commander Hur wets his dry lips with the water supplies of Imam Hussein's encampment, he notices a look of pity in Hussein's eyes. Hur drinks his fill, frowns, and returns with his men to the ranks of Yazid, ready to terrorize. Yazid's army is stationed between the camp of Hussein and the River Euphrates. Days pass like this, to the third from the first. Imam Hussein's family now needs water. The children are thirsty, Sakina. His young daughter cries out, "Thirst, thirst, for only a drop of water." But the cursed men of Yazid pay the thirst of their enemies no heed, while they themselves drink happily from the Euphrates. Commander Hur, at this point, recognizes he's done something terribly wrong. And even though Yazid has an army of terror which is 40,000 strong, and Hussein only has his 72, Hur can be found pacing in no man's land between the camp of Yazid and the camp of the true. His men see him as if he's possessed by a spell. He replies, "I'm choosing between heaven and hell." They tell him that it would be foolish to rebel against Yazid and that there's no chance that Hussein would succeed. But Hur glares at them and turns aside, goes to Hussein and begs for the opportunity to fight for the right side. 72 isn't enough to face the armies of injustice all at once, and so they will fight one on one, one by one, until there will be absolutely none. And from Hussein's side, Hur marches with pride against the armies he used to lead, riding out upon his steed. And so he fights and he dies, meeting his destiny. And Imam Hussein says, "O Hur, you are free in this world and in the hereafter free." Will you be free? Listening to my voice right now, realize that you have a choice right now. Imam Hussein says that people are slaves to this world. Curled up in your duvets night after night, tucking your children into bed while others out there don't have bread to eat, whilst orphans are cold. Injustice wouldn't exist anywhere in the world if it weren't for the rich robbing hoods out there so that you could go on shopping for goods out there. Human rights is a pretty phrase paraded by politicians today, but try waving that in the face of someone dying of thirst or Ebola. And while all the tragedies of Karbala were not even over, it's as if I can see the people of Kufa sat comfortably drinking Pepsi and cola. And you might testify that justice is worth sacrificing for, but let me tell you, you're only bluffing, because the truth is, bad things only happen when the good do nothing. But now it's too late, the damage is done. Hussein and his companions are enduring the burning sun. His brave brother Abbas can't bear to see the children dying of thirst, so listen to his tragedy. Abbas goes to Hussein, says, "Brother, give me permission to try and get some water. I can't bear the thirst of my niece, your daughter." And every time Sakina cries, "Thirst, thirst," I feel that my heart might even burst. So Abbas takes his water skin and raises his banner. He mounts his horse, marches out in a heroic manner, fighting through the cursed soldiers of Yazid. Loyal Abbas reaches the River Euphrates. As he reaches down for the water, lifts it plate up in his hands, he suddenly realizes how thirsty he himself is as he stands. Raises the water to his lips, but he remembers Hossein. He remembers the kids. Throws the water back down until Hossein's thirst is quenched. I won't even take a sip. See, we all claim to have loyalty for the cause of justice, but a claim is a claim and it's just this. But Abbas, as he filled his water carrier and turned to deliver it back to the camp of Hossein without hesitation, without a pause, this, my friends, is true loyalty to the cause. But the friends of Yazid won't let Abbas rest, and Abbas knows that this is his final test, riding against the tides of fate, thinking only of Hossein and the children's state. But those cowards of Yazid, full of hate, one attacks from one side, Abbas's arm was cut. But he wouldn't give up. He carries the water skin in his other hand, but one of the foes of that terrible land attacks him from the other side. The fiends of Yazid won't let their enemies rest. They went after Abbas as he carried the water against his chest, finally striking him from behind. Abbas falls to the ground with no hands to help him. You can hear little Sakina crying, "Thirst, thirst," but Abbas is on the ground now. His water carrier bursts, mixing with his blood on the sands. The men of Yazid close in from all sides, and without any hands, he can't defend anymore. They're on the floor, thinking of the children's thirst. Abbas died. Every soul killed is an act of genocide, just as God tries to teach us through the Quran. It doesn't matter if it's a person in the West or East or something stan. It's not about statistics, we need to value every single human life. When will the strife of Hossein make you sore? You don't have an excuse anymore. Look around. Are you not maddened? Are you not saddened? Do you not see that truth is being abandoned? That righteousness is stopped while falsehood grows like a crop? But the stories not over yet. It's only just begun. The innocent children are roasting in the sun. Hossein takes his 3-month-old baby, holds him up and says, "I'm the one you want. But what crime has this child done? Give him some water. He is dying of thirst." But the men of Yazid were heartless, and a man named Hurmala, who was cursed, steps forward and draws his bow, says, "I'll give them a show. I'll quench his thirst." And so he fired his arrow, which flew through the air. It hurtled down towards the little baby, 3 months old, and pierced his little neck with a thud. Hossein doesn't know what to do with himself, what to do with this child in his arms covered in blood. Hossein towards the camp steps forward, but then the thought of the child's mother inside, he turns carrying little Ali Asghar. He takes 7 steps forward, takes 7 steps back, takes 7 steps forward, takes 7 steps back, and then Hossein just looks to the skies and says, "Everyone dies and we will go to heaven." Says, "From Allah we have come and to Him do we return." And today, my dear friends, we have come to learn the reality of this life will leave you with a bitter taste. So don't waste your life, because the reality of the hereafter is immortality. And the immorality of men in this world knows no ends. One at a time, Imam Hussein 72, go out and fight for what is true until Hussein is left all alone, facing the armies of Yazid sat upon his wretched throne. Now, will you ever witness from now till Judgment Day, one man versus 40,000? 3 days under the burning sun of Karbala, Imam Hussein, like a lion, draws his sword for Allah upon his shimmering white horse named Zuljannah. This is the path of heroes, my friends. This is the sacrifice that needs to be made. Is struggle and strife the aim of your life, or are you more concerned with the latest car? Do you feel pain for the children out there today who have no voice and are oppressed just like yesterday, or are you keeping up to date with the latest gossip about the latest star? No, you're too busy updating your latest avatar. And while the rich sit in Kufa, richly eating caviar, I can see Hossein riding out alone in Karbala. I can see the arrows piercing his skin, just as they pierced the necks of his kin. I can see his clothes drenched in blood, and yet Hossein alone has faith in God above, fighting fiercely against all the odds, against the men whose hearts are attached to many gods. And don't forget, money can be worshipped too. Your job, your house, it's not important if you have one or two. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So who says that after they've killed so-and-so on the news that they won't come after you? Look again out your window, another orphan maid in Palestine, and in Yemen another widow, and see the poor man on the streets that you just walked by, only wanted some spare change, wouldn't have costed you to contort or cry, but change never comes until you pay with pain. And that is why we remember the sacrifice of Hossein, covered with so many arrows, surrounded by immoral men from all sides, drenched in blood upon the burning sands, asks for water, but the wretchedness of man is such that they don't show him mercy even this much. A spear hits him from one side, a sword from the other. He's lost 72, and now 72 wounds cover him. He's lost his brother Abbas, his comrades too. And don't forget, he lost little Ali Asghar too. Now listen carefully, because all of this was only and only for justice. Everything Hossein sacrificed was so that you and I would realize that life is not just fun and games. We have a duty as human beings to protect and respect one another, whether black or white or Jew, with him or her or you, whether west or east, south or north. This is why Hossein and his 72 went forth, so that you would change yourself, and then the world too, and don't remain curled up in your comfort zone, when in today's world there are tyrants like Yazid upon the throne. So that for this change you stand up and show no fear, so that for you it becomes absolutely clear, in this dark and gloomy world in which we reside, without sacrifice, humanity will not survive. Today, the legacy of Hossein lives on, so that you know the path we must all walk upon. That if a man could sacrifice everything he had, so that the justice and love taught by his granddad would live on through time until Judgment Day, you too can bring about a change this way. You, whether man or woman, son or daughter, know that every soul out there deserves water, deserves their God-given human rights, and that heaven is for the one who is fearless and fights. Through words of wisdom or media or steel, you've got to make every human being feel responsible for the injustice that is taking place. For Palestine or Yemen or Myanmar, rise up to the challenge. Protect the human race. Everyone, whether near or far, rise up for humanity and remember Karbala.